Lillian Salerno is a Democratic political consultant, a former Obama undersecretary, and host of Pod Bless Texas, the podcast. Lillian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
Good, good, good. So, obviously, not a surprise for a lot of people, especially folks like you that follow us intently. You know, she checks a lot of boxes. Female, black, also Asian, may I add. Very telegenic, has a national profile, tough campaigner, very, very smart lady, accomplished lady. How important is it to have a black woman? Because, you know, I get what Donald Trump said yesterday and saying, well, yeah, I know some men who are offended, but, you know, men generally control politics as it is. This was an important choice to be a black female in particular. Why? How much so?
Well, I think where we find ourselves as a country with race relations and the protests this summer regarding police reform and other things that, you know, certainly having an African-American on the ticket is important. We have a very qualified African-American female on the ticket, someone who ran one of the biggest justice departments, or the biggest justice department outside of the federal justice system, because she came from California. So she just, she meets a lot of the what we need right now. And I think one of the most important things that I think people sometimes miss is that, you know, the Democrats are highly, highly aware of the age of their candidate, Joe Biden, and the fact that Senator Harris is 55 years old is a very big plus.
Yeah, I get that nuance too, the youth thing. I should have included it in there as well. But here's the problem, and we're in a day and age where, as you know, Lillian, what you tweeted 10 years ago when Twitter was first around is coming back to haunt a lot of people these days. What you did in the past, even if you may have changed your views or served your sentence or whatever it is, this is discovered by a new set of eyes, and therefore you've got to go through the whole process again. This is not a new thing, and I think the cancel culture is rather sad, but I think this plays into Kamala Harris here, in that here's a woman as a prosecutor in California, by the way, a former drug warrior who has now rebranded herself as pro-legalization. She opposed marijuana legislation as late as 6 years ago. She was for civil asset forfeiture. Her office actually engaged in that, too, as a way to fight drugs. She went after a prescription drug abuse and the like. She locked up blacks or low-level drug offenses. How come history doesn't matter with Kamala Harris?
Well, I think it does, and certainly, you know, the party has, you know, different wings as the Democratic Party, just as the Republican Party does, and she is, you know, the candidate that, you know, the left isn't, you know, crazy about, but they're so worried about, you know, where our country's heading that sometimes you hold your nose and you vote because you know that candidate in this party is, you know, more in line with your values than the Republican Party. So remember, for the Democrats right now, it's a referendum against Trump.
Right. And I understand that, Lillian. I guess my point is here, too, and there are a lot of things. I mean, let's face it, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris actually didn't really get along. some ugly things were exposed during the primaries, and that's water under the bridge. That's politics. You know, one day your enemy's your enemy, the next day they're your running mate. I understand that. That's how it works. But this one to me is broader, though, because we're in an age now when she was chosen specifically, as you just said, as a African-American, as a black female, in a day and age where we're worried about how blacks are treated by police and their actions and the justice system and the like. And so it's in the context of a national debate right now. I guess where I start to see through this is during the defund the police movement, you've got a candidate for the Democrats who are, you know, not all Democrats, obviously, it's a big tent, but there's a very vocal portion of the of people who are going to vote for Joe Biden, presumably, who want to see serious police reform. People who actually believe we should defund the police in various ways, shape, and form. But Kamala Harris is an outspoken critic of mass incarceration. But over the years, her track record wound up locking up the same people who she is now saying, hey, listen, we don't need to lock these folks up. You know, at one point, she argued that nonviolent offenders should stay behind bars because the state needs cheap labor that they provide. I mean, she actually said that. So how did not those words not come back to haunt her during the debates and during this run for the vice presidency? You can't satisfy the defund the police crowd when that's actually your record. Are they willing to look past that?
I think people are looking at evolution. And again, for the Democrats, and I know, you know, those aren't all your listeners. Some of them, maybe.
There's a few. No, there's a few. I want to hear, look, Lillian, I don't want to have my views validated. I want to be challenged and understand what's a player. But it seems kind of phony to me, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the idea of phony is more like, you know, evolved. I mean, what's she running? Who's she running against? I mean, it'd be different if the Republicans had, a different kind of vice president. I mean, we have a vice president that will be debating her that doesn't even recognize that women should be in the room. You know, he won't even go to a dinner with a female, even though she has a high post in the administration with less is lighter. I mean, that's just bull crap. The idea that Kamala Harris has to, you know, defend or respond to the fact that she's evolved when she has practically Neanderthals in the White House at this point, how women feel as a female in a suburb, I think a lot of us feel like this administration with this president and this vice president, we have nowhere to go. So we're going to be clamoring to the Democrats.
Well, it sounds like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Lillian, but it sounds like you're saying hypocrisy is okay as long as we're the ones that are doing it.
Well, no, it's that what we're up against. I mean, I don't think it's hypocrisy. I think it's about evolving. I mean, if we held that line of reasoning and we held it against Joe Biden, you know, he ran around, which is what Senator Harris pinged him on when they debated. You know, he ran around with people that were former U.S. senators. That were part of the KKK. So, I mean, you know, people have to look through that and realize that we are in different times, and I think people will with Kamala Harris. She's transparent about her feelings. She's not, I mean, nobody's going back to whitewash her background. What they're trying to do, I think, is make sure that we have a formidable vice president because we have someone at the top of the ticket that is, 77 years old.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem there. And I will say, too, that's like, well, if we're going to give a pass and say, hey, people have evolved to change, you can make some things that Donald Trump did and said during and right before he became elected almost 4 years ago, saying, well, then we also have to look the other way. Maybe he's evolved, too, although I guess you disagree with me on that. Lillian Salerno is a Democratic political consultant, former Obama undersecretary, and host of Pod Bless Texas, and talking about the selection of Kamala Harris as the VP candidate with Joe Biden. They're going to be talking, I guess, a little bit later today. You know, one of the other things too, I don't want to get mired in the, you know, what we've just been talking about for the last few minutes here, but I think there's another thing here too, is that she was viewed by many as the safe candidate, and I thought of that going, all right, I mean, she, as we said, checks a lot of boxes, but Tim Kaine of Virginia back in 2016, which seems like a lifetime ago the way politics is these days, doesn't it? I had to think of who the hell are we running about. But Hillary Clinton chose Tim Kaine, who was the safe choice then. Is safe choice the same as saying someone who's unable to excite the base? You kind of need some excitement in the Biden campaign. You know what I'm saying? That's a is she the 2020 version of Tim Kaine?
I love Senator Kaine, so I think he's great because I used to live in Virginia, and he was a great governor and an excellent senator. But, you know, you're right. He was sort of, for the left part of the party, he was a little bit milquetoast, and, we didn't energize our base for tons of reasons. I think, again, what the Democrats are, it's almost where the Democrats are today. I think they are trying to navigate the fact that they feel, and many people, you know, are collaborating that, you know, our country's in not a great shape right now. People aren't better off than they were 4 years ago. And what can we do to make sure we don't screw up? Mm-hmm. And so for them to go too far, you know, like someone that loves Elizabeth Warren, loves the Bernie Sanders, constituency, they're not excited today,
right?
But they're still in the game because they also recognize that there will be space and that Kamala Harris will evolve and has evolved and is, you know, going to be a ally in the fight for working families.
Well, I mean, you're always going to have those votes vote for or Democrats, mm-hmm. or if not, they're probably going to vote for a Green Party candidate or something. Mm-hmm. But that's your bay, right? You those people are going to show up and vote Democrat. That's not, you're worried about the swing voter here, though, right, Lillian? In that, does Kamala Harris say, okay, here's someone who is, yeah, she had that record of being tough on crime, and she almost sounded conservative in a lot of ways, what I just described. Does that appeal to the person who is like, well, I don't know if I, you know, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, does that move the needle mm-hmm. a lot? But then again, it's a vice president. Does the vice president even move the needle for voters like that?
I think it does because of, you know, the fact that, you know, people are keenly aware of, you know, the age of the vice president, and people are, you know, people keep talking about this elusive swing voter. I think those swing voters are people that a lot of them are female, I believe, in suburban districts, mm-hmm. and I think she offers them a really, as a female and somebody that they can relate to, that's, I think that they feel very positive about this election today.
Yeah, now, of course, now this can all change in the next 90 days. It's going to feel like 90 years between now and November. But good Lord, I've never seen. You've been watching this for a while. I mean, you know, I'm kind of a spectator. This is your life. Every day feels like a dog. It's like dog years we're living now.
It totally is.
And then you throw COVID in the mix. And is that the great question mark that could throw this? Is that the October surprise of August? Is how COVID influences this election? Because, for example, what does this do for the campaign of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? You have a known commodity in Donald Trump and Mike Pence. They're mm-hmm. the incumbents. You know, they're sitting on the top of the heap right now. If you're going to knock them off, does COVID help or hurt Joe Biden?
I'm on a few campaigns in Texas, on, you know, calls and different, as consulting for different campaigns, and COVID has changed the entire game for all the candidates. And does it, I would say, because the president, you know, incumbency matters. I think certainly Vice President Biden and Senator Harris are, you know, always going to be buying for airtime, right. And it's not as easy to do, and you can't go and get a bunch of folks around and have a rally. And I think it puts them at a disadvantage for sure.
But we know Joe Biden sometimes has a hard time when it's public speaking and ad-libbing. And are you able to control him better this way? Does this take that edge off, where he's going to make a mistake?
I don't know. I think Joe Biden's Joe Biden. I don't know if anybody controls him, but certainly. Yeah, his message is probably more regulated without him being in big crowds.
Right, right.
One thing about, but I mean, he's, you know, people that like Joe Biden, they love him. He reminds them of their uncle. He's, you know, just likable.
Likable guy, yeah, right.
Yeah, and so I don't think people are, you know, I think there's some people that don't like him, but I think most people that are on the Democratic side of the fence, they are fine with him. They're not excited about him. But
right, there's your problem.
I was surprised how, I think there's a lot of people, and I was surprised how many people are very, very, very excited about Kamala. I mean, they're you know, when you go to the political Twitter sphere, I was shocked, you know. So I actually thought she'd get a lot more, you know, mud thrown on her from the left, but it doesn't appear that way because I think people are so committed to winning in November.
Well, you also got to make your case, too, right, for the American people, because it's not enough to say, hey, at least we're not Trump. I mean, that didn't work for Mitt Romney with Obama.
That's true.
You know, it's not going to work in this case. So you've got to present something that's uniquely different. But I would point out, too, I think the Achilles here is the fact, you know, Joe Biden is going to talk a lot about restoring America, bringing America back and fixing the middle class and all these things. But let's not forget that I'm an old man and Joe Biden was first elected when I was 7 years old. He's been in Washington mm-hmm. since then.
Yeah.
So he's part of right. the problem. How do you wind up balancing and reconciling those two things?
That very, very good point, and that's you know, why that primary was so interesting is the fact that there was this, you know, huge divide in candidates during the Democratic primary that wanted complete structural change in those who don't. And Joe Biden is not reflective of somebody who wants big structural change. Many in the Democratic Party, and I'm in that camp too, the country needs a big structural change, big institutional structural change, and the Republicans have done a very good job of, categorizing or, you know, interpreting big structural change and calling it socialism, which isn't the structural change. It's more about, you know, making sure we get, you know, look at monopolies, making sure we look at these failing institutions, making sure that the income inequality piece is addressed, and that's what the fear is, or the hope is, the hope is with Kamala that she will bring some of that into the White House, and because that's not where Joe Biden hangs out.
Yeah. Lillian Salerno is a Democratic political consultant and joining the show once again here on 700 WOW. Lillian, all the best, and thanks for coming on this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.